Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Arachin daf Chaf Beis, and the rabbi left off yesterday at the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, so we're going to pick up from the first word on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. I feel like I have the opportunity to say this at least once every time I give the shir. Kenny, it's just me and you. Thank you very much for showing up on time, as you do every day. Today's shir is sponsored by two people. It's sponsored again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer very, very much for his continued sponsorship of the shir and support of the shul. Today's shir is also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Asher HaKohen, whose yahrzeit he is observing today on Hey Thomas. So we thank Mr. Orlinsky as well very, very much for his sponsorship of today's shir, and the learning should be in Aliyas Neshama for his mother. So yesterday we began the sixth parak of the Masechta. We were talking about the procedure for how Beis Din makes an appraisal and sale of properties belonging to Yesomim, and also an appraisal of sale of properties belonging to Hekdesh. And so what we had seen yesterday at the very end of this year was that there were really two circumstances in which Beis Din will be yored lenichta yesomim, in which Beis Din will actually go into the nechasim of the yesomim in order to sell properties. Ordinarily speaking, we don't like forcing yesomim to do anything with their property. We don't like usurping control over the property of yesomim. We'll see why later on in the Gemara, but there were two exceptions, and we said that one exception is lebal chov b'chovo, in order to pay a bal chov, in order to pay a creditor of the estate and of the father, of the deceased father. And the other exception is almanas litin leisha b'ksubasa, in order to pay the ksuba of a woman. And those were the two circumstances in which they would actually, Beis Din would actually go into the nechasim of the Yesomim in order to make an appraisal and sell land in order to satisfy those obligations. The Gemara today is going to talk a lot about machlokas as to whether only one or both of these exceptions apply, and what exactly is the nature of the bal chov who is owed an obligation by the father's estate that we are willing to go into the Nichsei Yisomim in order to try to sell property and satisfy the chov. So we're going to talk a lot about what type of chov that really is, and that's really going to cover the entirety of today's discussion. Chav Beis Amud Aleph, continuing over to Chav Beis Amud Beis. So let us start again. It's the very first word on the page. Tanu Ravanan. So we say in the Braisa as follows. The Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom. So we saw yesterday, the Mishnah had said that the Shuma Yisomim, time period for the appraisal and sale of property of Yisomim is 30 days. We advertise it for 30 days as an auction to make sure that we get the most favorable price. For Shuma Ekdish, Shishim Yom. And the time frame for the appraisal and sale of properties of Hekdesh, if somebody consecrates a property to Hekdesh, Hekdesh then wants to sell the property off in order to generate money so that it could use the money for something useful to Hekdesh, that time period is 60 days divrei Rav Meir. That's what Rav Meir says. That was our Stam Mishnah. So that we are familiar with. We saw that yesterday. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, Shumi Yisomim Shishim Yom. No. We have to add 30 to each calculation. The time for sale and appraisal for a property of Yesomim is 60 days. V'shama Hekdesh, Tishim Yom. And the time frame for the appraisal and sale of property of Hekdesh is actually 90 days. V'chachamim Omrim, and the Chachamim say, Echazeh, v'chazeh, Shishim Yom. Note that both the sale and appraisal period for Yesomim and the sale and appraisal period for Hekdesh, they're both 60 days. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Imi, Alacha, the Alacha is as follows, Shema Yisomim, Shishim Yom. So we have Rav Chista, the name of Rav Imi, Paskening, that the Shema Yisomim, that the time period for the sale and appraisal of property of Yisomim is 60 days. But we're not clear which Shita he's holding like. So Yosef Rav Chiya Baravin, V'kamer Lahashmaita, so Amar Le Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chiya Baravin, Shishim Kamrit, Oshloshim Kamrit. Hang on, well, repeat, did you say that the time frame for the sale and appraisal of Hekdesh is 30 days? Or did you say, the time frame for sale and appraisal of property of the Yesomim is 30 days? Or did you say it was 60 days? So Amar Lei Shishim. He says, no, I was talking about the time frame for sale and appraisal of property, and I said it was 60 days. Okay, next question. the Yesomim or the Hektish? Were you talking about the time frame for sale and appraisal of property of Yesomim, or were you talking about the time frame for sale and appraisal of the property of Hektish? So Amarle the Yesomim. He says, I'm referring to the time period for the sale and appraisal of the property of the Yesomim. It's that sale and appraisal which has to run for 60 days. So then we said, Karav Meir or Karav Yehuda. So this is an interesting question, because the Gemara says, are you holding like Rav Meir, or are you holding like Rav Yehuda? Now, Rav Yehuda is the one who said that Shema Yesomim was 60 days and Shema Hektish was 90 days. And the Chachamim argued on him and said, no, that both of the time periods were 60-day time periods. Rav Meir was the author of our Stam Mishnah, who had actually said that the Shema Yesomim was only 30 days. So he said, are you talking about Shema Yesomim or Shema Hektish? Yesomim. 60 days or 30 days? 60. Are you holding like Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda? Amar leih k'Rav Meir. He says, I'm holding like Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, v'Rav Meir shloshim kamar. Rav Meir, how could you hold like Rav Meir and say that the Shema Yesomim is 60 days? Rav Meir in the Mishnah said that the Shema Yesomim is 30 days. So Amar leih, Hachi Amar Rav Chissa. So Rav Chissa said as follows, Me'avimi kolpi tavi boli ala da'ashmaitza. When I was younger, I used to absorb mighty blows from my teacher Avimi over this brisa, because it was a very, very complicated brisa, and I really couldn't get the interpretation. We had to struggle a lot with this brisa. And the Achronim explain, obviously, that Avimi was teaching Rav Chista this brisa before he became Rav Chista. Otherwise, Avimi wouldn't have been smacking Rav Chista around in order to encourage him to get the proper pshat in the brisa. And of course, this is one of these examples of a type of theory of teaching and pedagogical methodology that we're not very familiar with nowadays. And Avimi would probably wind up in a lot of trouble if he taught like this, even if Rav Chista was not ordained with smicha at the time that he was teaching him this brisa. But regardless, the point is, it's like a very confounding brisa. It's almost like a riddle, because he said he's talking about the Shema Yesomim. He said the Shema Yesomim is 60 days, yet he said he's holding like Rav Meir, and Rav Meir in our Mishnah, the Brisa that is citing Rav Meir explicitly, says that the Shema Yesomim is only 30 days. So says the Gemara, here's the way we interpret this Brisa. Balach rizritzufim shloshim. It all depends on what type of appraisal period and sale period we want to run. If we want to run the auction consecutively and we want to be machrez that these properties are for sale every day, then it's for 30 days consecutively. B'sheni v'chamishi, if you only want to be machrez the properties on Monday and Thursday, because Monday and Thursday is the day that people used to go to the market, and that's the day that the Beis Din would always convene on the Monday and Thursday. So if you wanna be machrez on Monday and Thursday, then shishim, then you have to be machrez over a longer period of time. That is 60 days. Now says the Gemara, v'afagav dechichashavlu mar liyomei achraza loavi ela tamnesa yomei. And even though when you do the calculation over a 60-day period, if you count the Mondays and Thursdays, you're only going to have 18 days of actual achraza. And Rashi does the math for us, because there are 8 weeks and there are two Mondays and Thursdays in each week, so 8 times 2 is 16, but then assuming that, that 8 weeks is only 56 days, so if you add 4 days, but the 4 days that you happen to add are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to get to a total of 60, then you have 16 days in the 8 weeks plus 2, plus the Monday and Thursday of the 4 additional days, is 18 days. So it seems a little strange that if you're machriz consecutively, then you have to be machriz 30 days consecutive. If you're machriz over a 60-day period, so if your machriz on only Monday and Thursday, then you only require 18 days of achraza. So how is it that you're able to get away with only 18 days of achraza? That doesn't really make sense. Says the Gemara, v'afagav d'chichashav l'umar l'yomei achraza lo'avi eletamnei sar yomei. Even though if you calculate the yomei achraza, it only works out to 18 days, kivan d'mashcha milsa shamayinshi, because it's stretched out over a longer period of time, people are going to hear about it, and the hachraza is going to be effective, even though it is in some total fewer days of hachraza than had you done it consecutively, because the hachraza takes place over a longer period of time and it's stretched out. It nevertheless is very effective. Okay, so that concludes the discussion of 30 versus 60 or 60 versus 90, and why it turns out that by Yisomim you could be machros either for 30 days consecutive or over a period of 60 days where there were 18 days of achraza over those 60 days. Now we're going to get into the meat of the topic of today's discussion, which is under what circumstances do we actually go into the Nechse Yisomim and force an appraisal and sale in order to satisfy an obligation? And under what circumstances are we happier to wait until the Yisomim grow up and become adults? And then we told them, listen, you have to go satisfy the obligations of your deceased father's estate. So says the Gemara as follows. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Ein niskakin l'nichzei Yisomim. The only time we are niskak l'nichzei Yisomim, the only time we bother ourselves with the nichzei Yisomim and force a sale, and the imkei noisa ribis ocheles behem, is only if ribis was eating up the property of the Yisomim. So in other words, let's say the Yisomim's father owed somebody money and that creditor was charging interest. So technically speaking, the Yisomim don't have to pay back until they're adults. The problem is if the Yisomim are, let's call it 10 years old, and you're going to have to wait another 3 years until they become an adult, until their bar mitzvah, until their mechuyev mitzvahs to repay the obligation of their father. Over the period of 3 years, the loan is going to accrue a great deal of interest. It's going to cost more for the Yisomim to pay it off in 3 years because of the interest accrual than it would cost to pay it now. So we're going to go tell them, go pay it now, because we want to avoid the interest accrual. So ein niskakin l'nichzei Yisomim, ela im kein oisa ribis ocheles behem. Rav Yochanan Omar, Rav Yochanan says, no, it's a little bit broader. Oh, l'shtar sheyesh bo ribis, either for shtar sheyesh bo ribis, either if there's interest accrual eating away at the father's estate, o l'ksubas isha misha mizoni, or we will go into the nechzei yisomim in order to sell property, in order to pay the ksubas isha, the ksuba of the ex-wife of the deceased father, because of mizoni. And Rashi points out why, because so long as the woman has not collected her ksuba, she is supported from the estate. And we want to cut off the support obligation. Therefore, we will go into the property of the Yisomim in order to sell, collect money, in order to satisfy the obligation of the Ksuba. Says the Gemara of Rav Asi, Maitama lo Omar l'Ksuba Sisha. So Rav Asi agrees, it appears, that we go into the Nechzei Yisomim when we force a sale of the Nechzei Yisomim in order to stop the accrual of an obligation that keeps getting larger over time, and which is ultimately going to eat into the property of the Yisomim. So why don't they also agree that you have to pay the Ksubas Isha, that you go into the Nechzei Yisomim in order to pay the Ksubas Isha? Because don't they agree that the woman is deserving of, the woman is getting paid the Mizonos, and the Mizonos obligation is an accruing obligation, and it's eating in to the property of the Yisomim. So Ravasi, my time alomer l'ksubas isha, datkinu l'rabbanan ma'aseh yadeh. Why? Because the Rabbanan were metakin a trade. They said, yes, the woman does get the mizonos, the woman does get the support from the estate, but the woman has a choice. She could either get support and ma'aseh yadeh, any income that she earns from working, she then has to pay over to the estate, or she could not get the support, and she gets to keep her Masa Yadayim. So the reason that Rav Asi doesn't say that we also go into the Nechzei Yisomim and sell them for Ksubas Isha is because he holds, true, the woman is accruing Mizonos, but if the woman gets Mizonos, she has to pay them the Masa Yadayim, and therefore it all evens out. Now, Rav Yochanan and by the Idach, but Rav Yochanan says no, we do go into the Nechzei Yisomim in order to pay off the Ksubas Isha. Why? Because Zimnin de la Safka. Because there will be times when the woman is taking more from the estate in Mizonos than she is paying in Masa Yadayim. Because sometimes the Masa Yadayim is not going to offset entirely the Mizonos, and so the estate is still going to be losing money, says Rabbi Yochanan, and if the estate were going to be losing money, that's when we go in, and we are going to force the sale and appraisal in order to cut off the obligation that keeps getting larger, that keeps accruing. Says the Gemara now as follows. We're five lines up from where the lines get medium-sized. So Tanan, Shema Yisomim Shloshim Yom, the time for sale and appraisal of property of Yisomim is 30 days, Vishom Hektish Yishim Yom, and by Hektish is 60, Machrizim B'Bokar V'Erev, and we are Machriz in the morning and the evening that we saw yesterday. So B'Mayaskinam, what are we talking about? So Ilem of B'Balchov of a Kavchavim, if we're talking about a Balchov of a Kavchavim, who's a guy, so Mitzayis, is he going to listen to when Basin tells him, oh, you're going to get paid, and you're going to get paid from the property of the Yisomim, but do us a favor, wait for 30 days until we advertise the property, and after 30 days, we're going to sell the property, and we're going to pay back your chob. So is he going to listen to that? No, he's going to demand, do an immediate sale. We see this property, it's right in front of us, do an immediate sale, and pay me back. Says the Gemara, Elapshita, the Balchov of the Yisrael. It's obviously a Jewish Balchov, and therefore the Jewish creditor is going to be respectful of the rules of Beis Din, and when Beis Din says, wait 30 days so that we can appraise the land and we can conduct a regular auction in accordance with this process, okay, the Balchov is going to let them do that. But says the Gemara, Ikachel Rabisa Mishav Kinola, hang on, I thought the only reason that we're going to go sell the Nichsei Yisomim is because the Balchov is collecting ribis, he's collecting interest. But if he's a Jewish Balchov, the type who's going to tolerate Beis Din taking 30 days in order to sell the property, is this the type of Balchov who actually would collect ribis? Jewish people are not allowed to collect ribis from other Jewish people. Says the Gemara, Vela deloka achala ribis. Elamai, we're talking about where it's a Jewish Balchov, and you have to say that there is no ribis accrual. There is no interest accrual. Says the Gemara, Viktani Niskakin. But yet we see that we are Niskak to the Nichsei Yisomim in order to sell it. But that's problematic, because we had said that the only time we go into the Nichsei Yisomim and sell the property in order to pay off a creditor before the Yisomim grow up and become bar mitzvah, the only time we do that is when there's an increasing obligation accruing that's saddling the estate with additional obligations, with incremental obligations. But if we're talking about a Jewish Balchov and the guy is not charging interest, then there is no increasing, there is no accruing obligation against the estate, and why would we be Nizkak? Why would we go sell it? Says the Gemara, Bishlam ala Rav Yochanan mukilo b'ksubas isha. According to Rav Yochanan, none of this is akasha, because even without the Balchov example, we always have the example of ksubas isha. Let's say the deceased father owed their mother, who was his ex-wife, the ksuba, and she was getting mizonos because she hadn't yet collected her ksuba, we would go sell the property because we wouldn't want her to keep getting mizonos at the expense of the estate. So according to Rav Yochanan, it's not going to be akasha. El Ravasi kasha, but according to Ravasi, it's akasha. What circumstance is there in which we're dealing with a Balchov who is going to accept the construct where Beis Din is going to take 30 days to sell the property, yet is also charging them ribis? And that's why the obligation against the estate is an ever-increasing obligation, and that's what gives us the ability to go into the Nichsei Yisomim and actually sell it. Says the Gemara, Amar lecha Ravasi, Rav Yochanan minicha. So Ravasi will tell you, according to Rav Yochanan, is it really okay? So Mishavkina Mizoni Devadai Kamafsida, do we let the Mizonos accrue, because the Mizonos is definitely going to cause a hefsid to the Yisomim's estate. Says the Gemara, well, hang on, by Iksuba, let's calculate it. We know that so long, if the woman has been Tovei or Iksuba, or if the woman has not collected her Iksuba, and the woman is entitled to Mizonos, each day that passes by, the Yisomim definitely have to pay the woman Mizonos. The Yisomim right now have a piece of property. Today, I know the piece of property could be sold for $100. If I machriz the property, if I advertise the property and sell it over the period of 30 days, maybe it'll get me $100. Maybe it'll get me $105 or $110. I don't know. It's possible that I might get a better purchase price for the property, but it's also possible that I may not. The one thing that I know for sure is that the longer I wait before I pay the woman's ksuba, the more in mizonos I have to pay her. So I know I'm definitely going to pay her more mizonos. I may make more money, but that's not a trade that anybody would make. They would prefer just to get rid of the certain obligation now and not hold out in paying the certain obligation on the off chance that maybe they're going to get more money out of the sale. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara. So Rav Asi had said, according to Rav Yochanan, it's also not so pashat. Says the Gemara, holo kasha, betavas ksubasa. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a problem. In other words, we don't always have to be nervous about the trade of, oh, you're giving up the potential for making more money of the sale of the property, but you are then going to definitely accrue the extra mizonos in the interim, because we could be dealing with a case where the woman was tavea ksuba bebeistin. And what does that get us? It gets us as follows. If a person is tavea ksuba bebeistin, it shows that she's ready to move on, she's ready to marry somebody else. If she shows that she's ready to marry somebody else, then she no longer receives support from the estate of her ex-husband. So says the Gemara, Ihachi is the kuki lomas takinan. Says the Gemara, hang on. If the woman was tavei ksuban beistin, meaning there is no mizonos, and that's why we're going to do the Yemei Achraza, because we're not worried that the mizonos is going to keep accruing against the property, the question reasserts itself, why are we then selling the property of the Yesomim when they're still minors, if there is no increasing obligation against the estate? Because we said we're dealing with a case where the woman was Tavei Ksuba, and there is no mizonos accrual. Says the Gemara, Elakivan is dakinan lo meikarim is dakinan lo lebsof. So says the Gemara, well, obviously we're talking because since before she was Tavei Ksuba, Beistin was prepared to get ready and go into the Nechzei Yesomim and sell them, because in that circumstance there was the prospect for the mizonos accrual. Therefore, even though, yes, now she has been Tovei Ksuba, and yes, there is no longer an accrual of mizonos, still we're going to be Nizkak in the Nechzei Yesomim, and we're going to force a sale of the property. But that all explains, according to Rav Yochanan, the situation, the scenario where there's a ksubas isha, and in what circumstances we would go into the Nechzei Yesomim and try to satisfy the obligation. But says the Gemara, Mikol Makom L'Rav Asi Kasha. But according to Rav Asi, there's going to be a kasha, because again, Rav Asi is the Man D'Amar Ohel that we don't go into the property of the Yesomim to sell for a ksuba. The only time we go into the property of the Yesomim is for a balchov. But what type of balchov are we talking about? If it's a Goyish balchov, he's not going to play by Basin's games and wait 30 days in order for the appraisal to run its course. And if it's a Jewish Balchov who's willing to play by Basin's time frame, he shouldn't be charging interest. Says the Gemara, Li'olam b'Balchov avikachavim. We're really talking about a Balchov avikachavim. Shekibel alav lodim medina Yisrael. He agreed to play by the Jewish rules. Says the Gemara, Yachi ribis nami lo lishkol. Well, then, if he agreed to play by the Jewish rules, he shouldn't be charging interest either. No, shekibel alav lezu, v'lo kibel alav lezu. He's a good guy, but he's not such a righteous guy. So, in other words, he's going to agree to play by Basin's rules, and that he's going to agree to sit tight and give Basin 30 days in order to try to get more money for the sale. But he did not agree, he never agreed that he's not going to charge interest. So here we have our case, where we have a Balchov who holds a loan against the estate of the deceased father, and the loan is accruing interest, yet the Balchov agree that he's going to play by Basin's rules in terms of the time frame for the Achraza. Okay, says the Gemara now, Vayter Tashma. We only collect from the Ziboris of the Nechzei Yesomim. What's Ziboris? So there were three different levels of property. There's Edis, there's Beninus, and Ziboris. So Edis is the best quality property, Beninus is average, and Ziboris is the inferior quality of property. And all this is always determined based on the relative quality of a person's property. So in other words, if a person has, it's not based on any objective criteria, is what the halacha is. If a person has three types of property, even though objectively this guy's best property is really not that good, as far as he's concerned, that is his Idis property. That is his very good type of property. Now, when a person is alive, different types of creditors of the estate have an entitlement to collect from different levels of property. So when a person's alive, if he's mazik someone, then the nizik collects from the idis, a stam bal chov collects from the beinonis, and the ksubas isha is collected from the ziboris. The ksubas isha is collected from the inferior property. However, when a person is collecting from yesomim, when a person dies, and either of these people have a claim against the estate, all of these guys only collect from the ziboris. It doesn't make a nafkamina what type of chi of the obligation was initially. So that's what we say. That's what we mean when we say ein ifrom minichli yesomim ela min haziboris. Everybody collects from the inferior level of property. B'may askinan. What case are we talking about? Ilei mebal chov ove kochavim. If we're talking about a bal chov ove kochavim, mitzas, is the bal chov ove kochavim going to say, oh, Basin was mesakein that the bal chov only collects from yisomim from ziburus, and therefore I agree, I'm going to have to collect from inferior property. No way. There is no way the bal chov who's a guy is going to agree to collect only from ziburis, only from the inferior property, because Basin said so. The guy doesn't care what Basin says. Elapshita b'balchov Yisrael. Elamai, it's obvious that we're talking about a balchov as a Jew. But says the Gemara, Iyachal Rabisa Mishav Kinalei. But what type of balchov are we talking about even, that we're going to force a sale of the property, and the property that we're forcing a sale of is the ziburis? If he's a Jew, we wouldn't let him take ribis. Ela d'loachal Rabisa. Ah, Yelamai is a Jew and is not collecting ribis. But then we wouldn't be selling the property altogether because it's not ribis ochelas mehem. Viktani niskakin. Sibishlam al Rabbi Yochanan mukula b'ksubas isha. I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have to touch up that it's a balchov altogether. It doesn't have to be a regular creditor. It could be a ksubas isha. El Ravasi kasha. But according to Ravasi, who said that we don't go into the nifsi yisomim in order to sell to collect for a ksubas isha, we only do it for a balchov. Again, what type of balchov are we talking about? Ella amalecha Ravasi, Rav Yochanan minicha. It's the same conversation over and over again. According to Rav Yochanan, is it really okay? Iksuba my ira miyasmi afilu minei didei nami biziboris. So if we're talking about Iksubas Isha, then what's the chiddush when we say that by Yisomim they collect only from ziboris? No, we said when a person is alive, he has three different classes of property, and depending on the type of chiyuv against him, that balchov collects from a certain class of property. And we said that Ksubas Isha is always collected from the ziboris. It's always collected from the inferior type of property. So why do you make it sound, oh, it's only because we're collecting from the yesomim that she collects from ziboris? No. She would collect from ziboris even if she were collecting from the husband himself, if he were alive. Says the Gemara, Holokasha, Rameiri. This is the Shita Rameir de Amar Ksubas Isha Bebeinanis Umiyasmi Biziboris. Ah, so the Shita that we were expressing earlier is the Shita of the Tanakama, who indeed said that the Ksubas Isha is collected from Ziboris even when the husband is alive. Rav Meir, however, holds that the Ksubas Isha is collected from Beinanis. But when does Rav Meir say that the Ksubas Isha is collected from Beinanis? That's only when the husband is alive. When the husband is dead, she collects from the Ziboris. She collects from the Yesomim in the Ziboris. So according to Rav Yochanan, it's not Akasha. I understand what we're talking about when we say that when we collect from Yesomim, we collect only from Ziboris, because we could be talking about the Ksubas Isha, and we could be saying a Chiddush, that according to Rav Meir, who says that when the husband's alive, it's Bebeinanis, by Yesomim, it's by Ziboris. Says the Gemara, but mikom makom l'Ravasi kasha. But according to Ravasi, who says that we don't collect from the Yesomim's property in order to pay the ksuba, it's only to pay the regular balchov, we have a kasha. Why? Because if it's a Jewish balchov, it shouldn't be ribis ocheles ben. It shouldn't be collecting ribis. If it's a Goyish balchov, he shouldn't be agreeing to collect only from ziburis. So what are we talking about? Liolam b'balchov of a kachavim. Really, we're talking about a balchov of a kachavim. Shekibul olav l'adam b'dini Yisrael, who accepted upon himself the Jewish halachic framework. Ziyachin ribis nami lo nishkal. If he agreed to play by the Jewish rules, he shouldn't be collecting ribis. Shekibul olavuzu v'lo kibul olavuzu. No, he only partially accepted the Jewish rules, so he accepted them insofar as he agreed to collect only from Ziboris, but he did not accept the Jewish rules insofar as he is insisting on still charging ribis. Says the Gemara now, first wide line. So Tashma, Amanas Litain Liisha Ksubasa, Ulabalchov Chovo. So when Basin makes the Achraza, they are machriz, oh, we're doing this either to pay the woman or ksuba, or to pay the balchov his chov. So bishlam a balchov, bain lamar kedishaninan. I understand, according to everybody, you're going to collect, you're going to sell the property in order to pay off the balchov. Elak subasa, but when based in his machra is that we're going to sell the land in order to pay the ksuba, lechora, that's only good according to Rav Yochanan, who says that you sell the property of the Yisomim in order to pay the ksuba. It's not good according to Rav Asi, who said that the only time you sell the property of Yisomim is to pay the balchov. So Bishlam Rav Yochanan Icha. Good according to Rav Yochanan, because yes, we sell the property of Yisomim in order to pay the ksuba zisha. Elul Rav Asi kasha, but according to Rav Asi, it's a kasha. Rav Asi had said we don't sell the property of Yisomim to pay the ksuba. We only sell it to pay the balchov. Over here, we're talking about a case where the guy admitted, says Rashi, Bishas Misa, Hoda Vm. He admitted that he never paid the ksuba of his ex-wife. So, says the Gemara, and that's why we're going to collect from the Yisomim. In other words, the reason that we don't collect from the Yisomim is because they're not familiar with the affairs of their father, and we have no idea whether it's really true, does the father really owe the money, and we don't want people to take advantage of the poor Yisomim who are only minors. However, when the father admitted before he died that he owed the chov, there was no ambiguity, there was no doubt that the guy actually owed the chov, and therefore his Yisomim have to pay the chov. Says the Gemara, Hashadasas la'achi kulunami kishachaya moda. Well, shkoyach, basically. In other words, if we're going to come to this, and we're going to say we're dealing with a case of shkaya moda, we don't have to say that we're dealing with a case where ribis ocheles, and it's an ever-increasing and accruing obligation. No, the reason that the Yisomim have to pay is because the father admitted that he owed the money. So Rav Maremar agbi ksubasa legrusha. Now a maisa, Rav Maremar collected a ksuba for a grusha. Now a grusha is ein la mizonos. Rashi said she wasn't entitled to mizonos. Minich leziyasmi, and he collected it from the nechasim of Yisomim. So Amar le Ravina la Meimar. So said Ravina ta Meimar. V'amar Rav Yuda Amar Rav Asi ein iskakin lech leYisomim elim kenoisa ribes ocheles bem. I thought that the only time you go into the Nechsei Yisomim to sell the property is only when Ribis Ocheles Bem, it's only when there's an accruing obligation. And Rav Yochanan Amar Olishtar Sheyesh Bar Ribis Oluksubas Isha Mishum Mizone. Now, and Rav Yochanan says, yes, you could also sell it to collect in order to pay for the ksuba, but only because she is accruing the mizonos obligation. Vafilu Rav Yochanan lo kamar elabal mana de kamapsi mizone. When did Rav Yochanan say that we collect the ksubas isha? That's only by an almana, because it's an almana who is deserving, who is an almana who is entitled, rather, to the mizonos, and therefore the kamapsi de mizone, and therefore the mizonos obligation keeps on accruing against the estate, and in order to cut off the mizonos obligation that an almana has, we want to sell the property in order to pay off the ksuba today. Aval grusha lo, but by a grusha we're not going to sell the property. Why? Because a grusha is not entitled to mizonos. And if there is no accruing mizonos obligation, there's no reason to force a sale from the property of the Yisomim. So the reason that we will sell the property in order to pay off the ksuba is because of chen. What does chen mean? And Rashi explains, k'deisha yimtzu anoshim chen be'enei anoshim, v'yinosu lam v'hilka chafilu grusha nami. The men find favor in the eyes of women, and the women will agree to marry them. In other words, basically, you're right. According to the framework that we've set up, there's no real reason that they should be required to pay the ksuba. But the chachamim were talking that every woman should get her ksuba. That was part of the bargain. Others say, no, it's so that the women should find favor in the eyes of men and they'll be able to get remarried, because if the woman is bringing some assets into the marriage, it's going to be easier for her to find a second husband. But anyway, it's because of some special takana, not because there's some accruing obligation against the estate. Some Rav Nachman, Reisha lo avim mizdakinan l'nichse yasmi. At first, I would never go into the nichse yasmi in order to sell. Kiven the shabina lo ha'da ravuna chavrim ishmei derav yasmi da'achli d'lav d'du lez l'basar shavkayu. When I heard the statement that was made that yasomim who eat from what is not theirs, because they are eating from property that really rightfully belongs to a balchov, they should follow their bequeather into the grave, meaning it's a curse to the Yisomim who are eating from property that's not theirs. From then on, I decided, you know what? It is worth it to go into the property of the Yisomim and sell in order to pay off the obligations that they owe. Some Eikara my time alow. So at first, why didn't he like going into the Nichsa Yisomim? Some are a papa, Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. Why? Because paying a Balchov is a Mitzvah. V'yasmi labanei mevin Mitzvah ninu. And the Yisomim are not mechuyav b'mitzvahs, and therefore they don't have to do the Mitzvah, Priyas Balchov. Ravuna Brave Rav Shua Amar Emar Tzori Atvase. Ravuna Brave Rav Shua says a practical concern. It's not only that they're not mechuyav b'mitzvahs, it's that we're afraid that maybe the father set aside money and already paid off the Balchov, so we just don't know what the father's affairs are, so we can't pay off the father's creditors now because maybe he took care of them already. My binayu, iki binayu kishchaya moda. Well, the distinction is when he admitted. So if he admitted that he still owed the money, we don't have to be afraid of tsvariat fasei, but we still have the practical issue that the Yisomim are not b'nei mitzvah, and therefore maybe we shouldn't force them to pay off the chov now. So inami shamtua meis b'shamte, or we're dealing with a case where they put him in cheirim for not paying his chov, and he died while in cheirim. So we don't have to be afraid that he actually paid off the chov, but we do have to concern ourselves with the fact that Yisomim are not b'nei mitzvah. Sholchu misam. The Shamsua Meis Peshamte, they said, oh, the case is where he was put in a cherem and died in a cherem. Vilchzak Ravuna Bered Rabbi Yeshua. And the Alacha is like Ravuna Bered Rabbi Yeshua, who said that the concern was that Swari Atfase, that maybe the father repaid the obligation, not the fact that they're not B'nai Mitzvah. And therefore, if the only concern is that the father may have repaid the obligation, if the guy died while in cherem and he was put in a cherem because he owed the money, then we will collect from the Yisomim. All right, finally and belatedly, flipping over to Chav Beis, Amud Beis. So Tanan says the Gemara, Shema Yisomim Shloshim Yom, Shema Hektesh Shishim Yom. The appraisal and sale for Yisomim is 30 days, for Hektesh it's 60 days. Umachrizim Aboker Ve'erev, and we're Machriz in the morning and in the evening. So B'mayaskinen, so what case are we talking about? Ilema B'alchov Ovekachavim, if we're talking about a B'alchov Ovekachavim Mitzayis, will he agree to play by the rules of Basin and give them 30 days in order to be Machriz the land? Elipshita B'alchov the Yisrael, it's obvious that we're talking about a B'alchov as a Jew. Bishlam Alarvun Nebredi Rav Yeshua Mukilo B'shachaya Moda. I understand, according to Ravun Nebredi Rav Yeshua, we could tie up like we just saw on the Amud Aleph, that we're dealing with a case where Shachaya Moda, where the guy, the father admitted that he owed the money, and therefore we're going to force the Yisomim to pay, even though there is no ribbis, and even though ordinarily speaking, we're afraid that maybe the obligation was not owing. Over here, we know the obligation was owing because the father admitted it. Ela Rapapa Kasha, but according to Rapapa, who said that the reason that you don't collect from the Yisomim is because they're not B'nai Mitzvah, so why in this case would you ever sell the property of the Yisomim? Even if the father is Moda, that he owes the money, the Yisomim are still not B'nai Mitzvah. So Amar Lecha Rapapa, Rapapa says as follows, Iba Asema Ksuba Mishum China. Maybe we're not talking about a Balchov altogether. Maybe we're talking about a Ksubas Isha, and the reason that you would pay the Ksubas Isha is because of China, is so that the woman finds favor in the eyes of men, or so men find favor in the eyes of women, as we just explained. Iba Asema Balchov Avikachavim. And maybe we're talking about a Balchov Avikachavim, Shekibel Alov the Medina Yisrael, who accepted upon himself to play by the Jewish rules. Says the Gemara again, same conversation we've seen a number of times. Well, if he was Makabel, the Dina Yisrael, so let him have the Yisomim sit on the land until they become B'nai Mitzvah. So if he's really playing by the Jewish rules, why is he forcing Basin to go sell the property of the Yisomim while they're still minors? He should wait until they become Bar Mitzvah. Shekibel of Lazu, V'lo Kibel of Lazu. Because they accepted for some purposes, but not for other purposes. Tashma, says the Gemara Vayter, Almanas Litin Li'isha Ksubasul Balchov Bechovo. So you could collect from the Yisomim in order to pay the woman's Ksuba or to pay off the Balchov. So B'mayaskinan, so what case are we talking about? Ilem Balchov of a Kachovim, if we're talking about Balchov who is a guy, Samitzais, is he going to let the property be appraised and sold for 30 days? He's going to demand immediate payment. Elapshita B'balchov the Yisrael. We're talking about a Balchov who is a Jew. Bishlam al Ravuna Breid Ravi Shua. I understand, according to Ravuna Breid Ravi Shua, Mukulab Shechaya Moda, we could be talking about a case where the father admitted that he owed the money, and therefore we don't have to be afraid that the father already repaid the chov, and therefore everybody would agree that you go into the Nichli Yisomim in order to force a sale. El Rapapa, But according to Rav Papa, who said that the reason that we don't call it the Nechzi is because they're not B'nai Mitzvah, so Bishlam Iksuba is Yisha Mishim Chena. I understand by Iksuba the reason that we would pay from the Nechzi Yisomim, even though they're only minors, is because of Chen. Ela Balchov Kasha, but for the Balchov, there's a Kasha. Why is he forcing them to sell the Nechzi Yisomim? They are not B'nai Mitzvah. Liolam Balchov of a Kachavim. So really, we're talking about a Balchov who's a guy. Ukagon Shekibel Avodim in Yisrael, but he accepted to play by the Jewish rules, and that's why he's going to allow the Yemei Achraz. If he was Makabel, the Dina Yisrael, if he was Makabel to play by the Jewish rules, then he should also accept on himself to wait until the Yisomim grow older. Because we're dealing with a case where he accepted to play by the Jewish rules for some purposes, but not for all purposes. So we'll stop here. We're a little short, but we'll make up the ground, God willing, tomorrow. Rava has another reason as to why we don't ordinarily collect from Nichsei Yisomim.